I chose the 30 or so people who covered the UK, and each of us had to vote for 5 restaurants, 3 of which had to be outside our own region and 2 in our own region. There are 26 such panels, so 800 or so judges around the world. We each vote for 5 restaurants, and then the scores are tallied together.
So, I mean, looking at the international picture, how have British restaurants fared?
I think it's fair to say that we're not massively represented this year, which is probably as it should be. I think we've got 4 in the top 50. And 2 of those, weirdly, are a Japanese restaurant, Nobu, and a Chinese restaurant, Hakkasan. And then we have St. John, Fergus Henderson's same place. And, of course, we have the number 2 restaurant in the world, the Fat Duck. So not massively overrepresented, but I have to say, looking at the world taken as a whole, I think that's probably about right.
One of the casualties in this year's list was Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. What happened to him?
I think the way you have to look at this list is by no means comprehensive. If we ever claimed that it was the final word on the best restaurants in the world, we'd deserve a complete slapping. But what it is, you know, a general court of opinion involving 800 very knowledgeable chefs, restaurateurs and critics. And when they were asked to name the 5 best restaurants they'd eaten at in the last 18 months, clearly very few of them named Gordon Ramsay's restaurant on Royal Hospital Road in Chelsea. Interestingly, what they did name was that of his estranged protege, Marcus Waring, at the Barclay. So, you know, if you're looking for controversy and shouty headlines, that's probably it. There's a sense from this, I suppose, that what's going on at the Michelin 3-star Gordon Ramsay at Royal Hospital Road is less exciting, thrilling than once it was, and all the excitement and big news is elsewhere.
Will high-concept dining survive the global economic recession?
I think the answer is yes. There will be casualties. There's no doubt about that. It's expensive and it's difficult to run, and the economics are very, very tough. But, you know, high-concept restaurants are nothing new, and neither are recessions. And they've always survived. And they've always survived because it's possible to trim your business model to fit the circumstances. And it's also one of those realities. There are always people out there willing to spend a bit of money on dinner as a way of, you know, making life feel a bit better. So although there will be people who go to the wall, it's not going to be the end of high concept dining by any means.